we all know we all are struggling with, I think, mixed emotions, all of us. So this shiur is going to be similar to the usual shiur, but a little bit different as well. We're going to look at some sources that we don't always look at, and try to give us some direction, some inspiration, some solace in the fact that we find ourselves in this kind of intermediate situation where we're living our normal lives or we're not living our normal lives. We're sending our children to school, but they're getting down on the ground and practicing for bombing attacks, just in case. You know what I'm saying? It's like...
Why Israelis don't plan anything in advance? Why is the birthday party that day? The bar mitzvah for the wedding, that week.
Yeah. I want to allude to something, which maybe you are feeling, maybe you're not, but I think some Anglos will feel differently than other Israelis who, because we made the choice to come here and to bring our families here and to put our children in this situation, there is perhaps a sense of
doubt.
Right.
Really?
Good.
For us or for our families?
Good, fine, good. There shouldn't be, obviously. But I want to address it if it's there. Right. I want to legitimate those people who are feeling that sense of doubt. Because it's a legitimate feeling, just like fear is a legitimate feeling. And doubt doesn't mean that you did the wrong thing, it means that you wonder. And we're going to see, I'm going to share with you an Abarbanel that speaks directly to that sense of that feeling. Personally, it's not something that I have, but it's definitely legitimate. And I will say, it's also a feeling that's explicitly stated by our children. Like, why do we come here? Hurricanes are anywhere.
Right, hurricanes are anywhere. You don't want to destroy people in their houses.
You know, all I'll say, I was reading the blog post on Slate magazine. I read Slate, so some woman came to Yerushalayim. Her parents live here, so she's an author. She writes. She came to Yerushalayim, so they all said to her, write. And the thing, I mean, she writes. She didn't really say anything deep, but the one thing she did write was her children are here with her for the year, and they said we want to go home. Now, of course, she didn't make Aliyah, and she's not where we are. She's not. She's in the place. Yeah, she's in Yerushalayim. It's like, imagine she was here. But don't think for a minute that our children don't think to themselves, well, my friends back wherever are not going through this, And we should acknowledge it. I was speaking to someone who's very involved where I work in a road in children's development and child psychology. And it's really important to acknowledge our children's fears. It's important to legitimate them and not to deny them. And to tell them that we understand what they're going through. Because they think that they have to be brave. And sometimes they sublimate in a way that's unhealthy. And I think the same thing is true for us as well. It's absolutely true. Now, my reaction is, of course, we made the right choice. And of course, it's the right thing. And I totally agree. But that doesn't mean that the feeling or the fear or the doubt itself is not legitimate. As we will soon see, definitely by the end of this year. Do not let me finish without sharing that Abarbanel with you.
Okay, I said at the beginning. We all got families in Kutsaris. That is a certain irony in our parents being somewhere that's safe, and we are somewhere not.
Right. I mean, when we moved here, it's really ironic because we considered a lot of places, and Rina and I were talking about this. One of the places we considered was Karnei Shomron, and Rina's like, no, I'm not moving to Karnei Shomron. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Yesterday, we got a call from our cousins who live in
Otniel.
You guys know where Otniel is? It's like...
Otniel is in the middle. You go to Be'er Sheva.
That's exactly what...
It's east of Be'er Sheva, on the other side of the mountain.
It's Shomron.
Have no fence around their town, Beshita.
Right.
Even though they're surrounded by cousins. And she called and said, we were thinking, who can we call? Some of my son's friends are having relatives come from the town. Who can we call?
So she's like, maybe your kids want to come and have a few days off. Like, to Odniel, really?
Okay. And she said that they were laughing about that. I said to her, it's ironic. She said, yeah, that's the joke over here. Come to Yesha and be safe.
Yeah, so there's a certain sense of irony, and also, you mentioned the idea of, even in New York, there's hurricane, whatever. We'll see. Yaakov will speak to this. So at the beginning of Parshat Vayetze, he obviously speaks to this exact feeling. The very beginning of the Parsha. Yeah, go ahead. The feeling of discombobulation, because if you recall, at the very end of last week's Parsha, what happens to Yaakov? He steals the bracha. Okay, immediately after he steals the bracha, Yaakov immediately senses, he's not in sense, he knows he's in danger. He's in danger because his brother wants to kill him. So what does his mother do? Sends him away. All this happens in a very sudden kind of thing. You know, one minute Yaakov is learning in his, you know, in his room, he's like reading, you know, the Midrash or something. The next minute his mother says, "Hey, Yaakov, come here, I need you to do something." Before he knows it, he's got skin on his arms, he's like with his father. Like 5 minutes later, he hears his brother wants to kill him, and that night, he's out. Really? Like, it's all like in a heartbeat, in a sense. Like, you gotta leave. What do you mean leave? I'm in the middle of like, I'm writing an essay, you know, I'm trying to write an article or something. You gotta get out of here. Right? And his father sends him away, go get married, see you later. And the details of his departure are also very unclear. You know, there's a whole question about how is it that he ends up in Haran with nothing? You know, he's penning this, and are you familiar with the Midrash about Esav's son? Was it Eliphaz, I think, or Eliphaz? Right, so just the Midrash says, like, the basic question, how could Yaakov come with nothing? How could he end up at Haran? When he ends up at Laban's house, he's got nothing. No money, no property, no possessions, no nothing. You would think that if Yitzchak, a prominent person, is sending his son away, you know, like he would send him with accompaniment, he would give him money, he would give him some sense of protection. It's not even like here. I mean, it's dangerous. The Romans were dangerous back then. So, nonetheless, he's just with nothing. So the Midrash says, no, Rivka wouldn't send him without Yitzchak. Rivka goes to Yitzchak and she says, "Want my son to get married?" She doesn't really want to tell her husband that the children want to kill each other. So she says, "I want Yaakov to get married, and I can't send the local girls." So Yaakov says, "You know what?" Yitzchak says, good idea, send the kid away. Boom, gone. So what happened? So the Midrash says, wondering this question, how could he have nothing? The Midrash says that Eliphaz, that Esav sent his son, what?
As you said boom, we heard boom.
Oh, it was construction? Okay, good. Esav found out that Yaakov ran away, so he sends his son Eliphaz after him. And Eliphaz runs after his uncle, and he finds him, and he says, "I have to kill you." So Yaakov says, "You know what, I'll tell you what, the Gemara says that ani dome kemet, someone who's impoverished is as if he's dead. I'll give you all my, what?
Take my
money, and then tell your father that you killed me." And so Eliphaz is only too happy to do that, and that's why Yaakov has nothing. But the question is more powerful than the story. The question is, how is it that Yaakov ends up with nothing? I have another answer to that question. My other answer to the question is, what did Yaakov do? How long did it take him to reach Haran, according to the Midrash? Anybody know? Yes. Yes, Ashi. Do you know how long it took him?
One day.
One day? That's one Midrash. According to another Midrash, how many years, where did Yaakov go? Did he go directly to Haran?
14 years.
He went to 14 years. What did he do for 14 years? He learned Torah. Anybody?
14 years
in the yeshiva of? Very good. Shem Ve'Eber. In the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Eber. He 14 years. Anybody know how expensive it is to learn in Kola for 14 years? I think that's the obvious answer. He used the money. You know what I'm saying? He couldn't wire home, send more money. Okay. But in the context, he's running away. He's running away penniless. He's running away without any protection. And he's on the road. Vayetze Yaakov mibe'er sheva, vayelech harana. So in this context, ignoring the Midrashim for now, he's running to Haran. Okay? Vayifga. We're just going to read the first psukim. Haran is modern-day Iraq. Aram Naharaim, Haran. That's where, from my understanding, Haran. Yeah, modern-day Iraq, I think.
So
right?
Iraq is biblical Israel,
or
is part of Israel?
No, not biblical Israel. It's not part of Israel at all. He left Israel. The way you would go is along the trade route. You'd go up north towards Lebanon and then follow along east the same way Abraham went, right? Abraham started in Aram Naharaim. He started well below, near the Emirates or whatever. Traveled up towards Haran, towards Iraq, and then around down towards Eretz Canaan. Those were the trade routes. So Yaakov would follow the same way back to Haran. So he's on his way to Haran. So the way would go, if he's going from Be'er Sheva, by Yete Yaakov be Be'er Sheva to go Haran, which way would he head?
North.
He would head north.
I don't.
What's that? It is hard to visualize. He would head north.
So where was the Yeshiva?
It's unclear what the yeshiva of Shane Be'Aver was. Let me ask you a better question. There's what did they learn in
what
yeshiva
did they learn?
Of
Shane Be'Aver?
Yeah.
Right. Shane and Aver. Ethics, monotheism, spirituality. Where? The yeshiva of Shane Be'Aver? Maybe nowadays the yeshiva of Shane Be'Aver and Tzfat. I don't know. Okay, so vayifka ba'makom vayalen sham kiva hashemesh vayikach ve'avnei ha'makom vayasem berashotav vayishka ba'makom ahu. So in my chumash, I've underlined the word makom three times. So I'll just point out to you this ba'makom. He arrived at the place. So the obvious question we have to ask ourselves is what place? Why do you say Haram Maria?
That's what you said last year.
That's good. Why did I say that?
I wrote it.
Really? Ah, very good. Why did I say it? Well, you look down, and I said it because Rashi says it.
Because what is the place? It's
what?
The place
what's Hamakom? Why does Rashi say it? Rashi
it's
says
Hashem,
it.
No,
what?
Hashem.
I'm surprised you didn't write Hashem. Right? Why are you writing Hamakom? Right? What is Bamakom? Why does Rashi say it? Look at Rashi for a second. Vayivka Bamakom. Rashi says immediately, Lo hiskira katu be'ezu makom. Doesn't say which place. Ela Bamakom hanizkar Bamakom acher. This I know we've done this Rashi before. Right? The place that's related, that's mentioned in another place, which is to Har HaMoriah. Where is Hamakom referred to? Avraham Avinu says he traveled, Vayisa Einav, Vayar et Hamakom Merachok. Hamakom. Right? No, they didn't get the Torah there. Har HaMoriah. Right?
Akedat Yitzchak.
Akedat Yitzchak. The place where Yitzchak was offered, where is that place? Har HaMoriah. Right? Har HaMoriah, that's Temple Mount. That's where in Yerushalayim. That's the place. So just so you know, this parsha is very much a place that emphasizes the significance, the spiritual significance of Har HaMoriah and our direct connection to it, the place of the Makom HaMikdash. Just so happens that that's not the issue of right of this year, but it's a very critical issue, and the Mefarshim talk about that extendedly. Okay? And so he arrived at this place. Now, in Pshat, that's Drash. In Pshat, where did he arrive at? It says, one second, here's the problem. Why do you say Beit El? You're absolutely correct, Tracy.
Because when he leaves,
right. Let's skip to it. I don't want to read the whole play, the whole thing. Yud Tet. Skip to Pasuk Yud Tet. After the dream, he says, Vayikra Shem Hamakom Hahu Beit El, Ve'ulam Luz Shem Ha'ir LaRishona. So here, you're obviously stuck with two problems. If it's Har HaMoriah, how come he calls it Beit El? So you have two possible answers. One, he arrived in Beit El, and somehow he got to Har HaMoriah.
But it just means the house of God.
That's the second possibility.
Or the other possibility is, he arrived in Har HaMoriah, and he called it Beit El. Okay, so that's another, those are two possible answers. This is called, right. What is this Luz? Where is Luz? Do you have any record of Luz?
Or maybe not the spot, not the whole thing.
So I would just point out to you, if you look at your Rashi on Pasuk Yud Tet, on Pasuk Yud Zayin, you'll notice there's a long, long Rashi on Yud Zayin that Rashi tries to understand. Where was, it's a huge, huge issue. Where exactly was Yaakov during his dream, when he dreamt his dream? Right? Because remember, he dreamed, and he saw Sulam Mutzav Artzav Rosho Magia Shamaima. He saw Sulam, okay? Right. Now, in your mind, what's a Sulam? What is a Sulam? A ladder. Okay? Well, sulam doesn't necessarily mean ladder. Kevin Lev told me his shot, which I think has a lot of accuracy. What is a sulam? How do they have ladders? They didn't have ladders necessarily the way we did. He thought that a sulam in Yaakov's time, what was a sulam? You know what a ziggurat is?
No. What?
A ziggurat, I think, is the name. Right? And they're old. What is that?
Together?
And it's not just Egyptian, it's an ancient. Yes, and how do the worship house, what do they look like?
Like a pyramid?
Not like a pyramid, but you've all seen them, with the stairway going up. You know what I'm saying? So think about your sulam. Sulam, look at our stairway here. Right? So it's not necessarily the sulam that you imagined, one, going from one place to another, but it could be a sulam mutzav arza. It has stairs. Would make more sense. Right, the fact that we call a sulam is only because that's the ladder in modern day Hebrew. But a sulam is a...
So actually the word for escalation.
Yeah.
Haslamah.
Isn't that for Muslimification?
No, like we're just escalation.
They're talking about those situations now.
So if you picture an escalator, it also also.
Right. You go from one to the other, to the other, to the other. The sulam, usav, arza. So that puts the whole thing in confusion because you're going from one side to the other side to the other side. Okay? So if you'll notice, there are famous rashi, there's a lot of famous rashis about what happened. Like, where did Yaakov go? Okay, so there's also a concept you should just be aware of, a midrashic concept called kfitzat haderech. That Yaakov enjoyed kfitzat haderech, which today we would call teleportation, which doesn't really exist. But somehow it means that he jumped kfitzat from one place to another. So the question is, what kfitzat haderech actually took place? So I'll share with you two conflicting midrashim. One midrash says, Yaakov went to Haran, vayete Yaakov mi be'er sheva vayelech Harana, doesn't mean he went towards Haran, it means that he went to Haran. And then, Vayifga b'makom. Vayifga b'makom means he hit Har Moriah. How is it he hit Har Moriah? Kvitzat haderech. Right? And he jumped kvitzat haderech. What? Just so you know, one second, if you look at the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, the Targum Yerushalmi, Targum Yonatan on this Targum Yerushalmi, there's a long little essay at the beginning of the parasha. He says, Chamisha nisim avdun la'avun Yaakov. Yaakov had five nisim. Nisam kadmana, one day. Ikatsu le'sha'e diyoma. Right? The day ended early. You've heard that one, right? That the sun set earlier than it should. Why did it set early? Because he got the Har Moriah and Hashem wanted him to daven there. So he's like, well, there's still time left. I still have to keep going. Zoop. Oh, time to go to sleep. Okay, so he davened. We'll see in a second what he means he davened. The second one, one second.
Some kind of a link with Avram when he made the sun, when he made it very hot outside. Keeps moving.
Similar to Avram Avinu. No, this is that he changed time. He actually changed time. There's only one other example. Well, this is implicit. This is in the Midrash. God did change time later on. Shemesh b'givon dom. Right. In the battle for Emek Ayalon, for Shalavim. Right, that Hashem kept the sun going, so I guess he kept the time back. Nisa Tinyana, the second Nes, I'm thinking Aramit. Keva dinatal avunon Yaakov ragle mi be'er shava, since he lifted up his feet. Kafza ara kadmone, right, the land jumped. V'ishtakach yate b'charan, boom! Like, he's like, on the way out, sees the sign for, you are now leaving Be'er Sheva, and then he keeps walking, and welcome to Charan. How did it happen? It's a niece. Okay? One second. And then he says he goes into other miracles as well. That's Kvitzat haderech. Rashi, in another Rashi, a contradictory Rashi, look at the Rashi later on Yud Tet where you are, on Yud Zayin. See the long Rashi on Yud Zayin. So Rashi suggests something else. Let's see if I could find it. I don't want to go into the... Rashi has a whole long discussion. What?
Was this where you were headed today?
No, I'm going to come back to it. Why? Because I'm going off track?
Yeah, I want to go back to where you were.
Yeah, we'll go back. Okay. One second. Okay. Od Amru. Rashi Yaakov karo li Yerushalayim Beit El. Yaakov karo li Yerushalayim Beit El. V'lu Luzi v'lo Yerushalayim. Aren't we in Luz and not Yerushalayim? My little Rashi. Mehecham lamdu lomar kein. So where do they say that it's Luz? Why do they say that this is Har Moriah? Omer ani, it says Rashi, I think, Shine'ekar Har HaMoriah u'balekan. It's not that Yaakov had Kvitzat HaDerech. What had Kvitzat HaDerech? The mountain came to Yaakov. He was in Beit El, right? He's on his way from, if you go, by the way, if you want to travel from Be'er Sheva up north, there's two ways to go. The way that we go now is because we're chicken, we're going Kvishesh. But the most direct route their time is, anybody know?
Past
Otniel. That's exactly the ancient route. You would travel all up Otniel, Route 60, through Hebron, all the way to Yerushalayim. So that's exactly where he was. So he says he's on his way through Beit El. Har HaMoriah itself came and went under Yaakov. What does that mean? Hashem wanted Yaakov to have a connection to Har HaMoriah in his travels. That's Vayetze. So just so you're aware, you know, once we go back. Vayetze, back to the beginning of the parasha. Vayetze Yaakov bi'be'er shava vayelech charana. He went towards Haran. Har HaMoriah came to him. Vayifga b'makom. He arrived. What's Vayifga?
He hit
the place. Why did he hit the place? He encountered the place. Well, he encountered the place either because he magically came to it. It magically came to him. But this is a place where Hashem wanted him to be. Vayalen sham, he lied down, ki ba Hashemesh. You have to read this with the eyes of Chazal. He lied down because ki ba Hashemesh, because the sun set. Why did the sun set?
Well,
I didn't have watches in those times, you know. I didn't know. Time flies when you're having fun, right? Okay. He lied down, ki ba Hashemesh. What does he mean, ki ba Hashemesh, according to Chazal? The sun was setting, but why was the sun setting? Right, the sun set early. And then he took the stones. What? Which oven was this? According to the Midrash, ask you which oven this is?
Oh, it's lots of small stones. And then
that's another of the Nisim, that he took the stones, and the stones all wanted to become under Yaakov's head. Very good. You want to know the pshat? According to the Rashbam? Sure. Yaakov left Beer Sheva, went towards Haran. He arrived wherever he arrived, and he lied down because it was nighttime, and he took the stones, and he had a dream, and he called that place Beit El. It could very well be that that would make the most sense to say that's Beit El.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He. How long would it take you to walk from Beer Sheva to Beit El? A couple of days. It could have been a couple of days. You know, it was a long trip. Yeah.
Big tourist attraction in Beit El. Monday, Beit El.
Lose. No, I don't know. There's a rock in the tree.
No, they claim.
And that's it, right? You don't have to claim. You know, this is the parsha to go to Beit El. We should have sent them to, you know. So, Laura, that's a pshat.
But
it's important to read in the eyes of Chazal because of the whole connection to Har Moriah, the whole connection to Har Habayit. And we're going to see why in a second. We're going to see in a second. Yeah.
That it means that Haramaria is a spiritual place. That Yerushalayim can be in your heart.
Well, Yerushalayim can be in your heart. Yerushalayim was in Yaakov's heart until it became a place. There is an idea of a Yerushalayim in your heart. Of course, ever since the exile, that's a critical idea, that there is an idea of Yerushalayim. You would ask me, did Chazal believe that the mountain moved?
Yes.
Of course they did. Without a doubt. Do you have to believe that? No, you don't have to believe that at all. You know what I'm saying? But it's for your benefit, we'll call it, it's a literary device. Does that help you? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But did they believe that? Now let's go back to Vayelecha. So in the words of Chazal, they even read this on a third level. So we have Pshat for Laura, Drash for everybody else. Okay? And now we're going to read a third level of drasha. Vayeta Yaakov be'er sheva, vayelech Haran. He went to Haran. Vayifka b'makom. What does vayifka b'makom mean in the third context? Look at Rashi on vayifka. Back on Yud Aleph, on 11. Vayifka b'makom. No. From piguim? So you're asking a very good question. What's a pigua? We should know what a pigua is. What's a pigua? We know what the word pigua is from where we're living. A pigua is a strike. So what in the world, you're asking, is why does it word the word vayifga? Okay? What does it mean? Vayifga b'makom means? That's you, Rina, I think, right? He hit the place. It doesn't make sense to use the word. It should say vayiga el ha-makom. And this is exactly what the Chazal are picking up on. Vayifga b'makom. On Rashi, kamo upaga biyericho, upaga bidaveshet. Sometimes in Tanakh it means to arrive at a place. The rest of Rashi here. Follow inside, very important. Verabotenu pirshu, lashon tfila. Kamo ve'al tifga bi. Vilamadnu, shetiken tfilat arvit. And we learn that Yaakov instituted tfilat arvit. Vishinaha katuv. So it says, why didn't say Vayit Palel? Rashi says, Velo katav Vayit Palel. And we didn't say Vayit Palel. Lalamdecha, to teach you, shekapzo lo haaretz. So Rashi says, it teaches you both. Vayika b'makom, the land jumped to him. He had teleportation. That's what he said there, we talked about. But what does Vayifga b'makom really mean according to Chazal? Vayifga b'makom doesn't mean, and he arrived at the place.
He davened.
No. You're close. Vayifga, and he davened. Ba makom. To Hashem.
That makes more sense.
But you've got
that except that it doesn't mean anything near to what the word means.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't mean
other than that.
Says the Gemara in Bracha Daf Chaf Vav Amud Bet.
Do you believe in the mountain came on?
Says. What's that?
Which also doesn't.
Says the Gemara in Brachot Daf Chaf Vav Amud Bet. The Gemara talks about the three tefillot, Shacharit, Mincha, and Arvit. For Abraham tikein tefillat Shacharit. Abraham established tefillat Shacharit. By Yishkem Abraham Baboker El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham. What's that word? Abraham went to the place Asher Amad Sham. Ve'in Amida El Tefila. Okay. Yitzchak tikein tefillat Mincha Shneemar. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh lifnot erev. Yitzchak went to speak in the field. Anybody want to guess what field Chazal say we're talking about? Yes, exactly right. The field of Moriah. There's a shock. Okay. The third one is, okay. Ve'en sicha el tefila. The word sicha lasuach refers to prayer. Shneemar tefila la'ani kiyato. Tefila la'ani. Right, you know that, right? Vilifne Hashem yishpoch. Sicho. All our kids know that song. It's a Mordechai David song. Okay? It's a very beautiful song. Yaakov tikein tefilat arvit. Yaakov established tefilat arvit. Shneemar, tefila la'ani ki ya'atov. I went back one second. Shneemar, vayifga ba'makom. And he togea, he attacked. He arrived. Lifgoa means to strike. The ain pigia ela tefila, and the word pigia must refer to tefila. Shene amar va'ata. God says to Yirmiyahu, when God is angry at Yirmiyahu, he says, "Al titpalel va'ada amazeh." Don't pray for them. Val tisaba adam rinau tefila. Don't raise up for them prayer and supplication. Va'al tifgabi, and don't.
It says something about
don't attack me. Don't leave me alone.
It says something though about what the nature of tefillah is in general.
Very good.
That tefillah is a demand. It's
what kind of
demand? I
said
it to mom yesterday. The other day, I said I daven that this should be finished soon and successfully and with no casualties. She said, "No casualties. Isn't that asking a little much?" I said, "Once you're asking, ask for the moon.
That's for the moon.
This is what I want.
100%." Excellent. Terrific. Excellent. The different prayers are related to, and they relate to different times and different issues per se. Avraham Baboker. Boker is the morning. Vayashkem. Avraham got up in the morning, right? Amida. There's a certain sense of standing up in the morning. Okay, in the afternoon, Yitzhak is in, and Avraham is on the har. He just picks up on this, on the mountain. Yitzhak is in the sadeh. And the sicha, there's a sicha in the afternoon. What's evening? What are you referring to? The evening is? Correct. Evening is the darkness. That's absolutely correct. And we're going to talk about this. Vayifka. Evening is a time of, just so you know, evening refers to three different things on a plane level and also a metaphysical level. Evening on a plane level, night was a time of fear. Night was always a time of fear because it's a time of darkness. It's a time of lack of protection and a time of danger. It's a time of danger on a very real way, and also a time of danger in a metaphysical way. The Gemara talks about the idea of mazikin, about exposure to danger, about protection. There's the idea of kriyat shema al amita. Why do we say hashkivenu? We ask for special protection. Ramidenu nashalom. Right? The prayers of arvit specifically refer to the dangers of the night. Okay? The idea of prayer at night is idea of referring to, of coming to God in our time of need. It's just very interesting. In another context, I give an Agadah here, so Rav Kook points out that the Kriyat Shema of the day and Kriyat Shema of the night. Kriyat Shema of the day, we say after the Shema, it says, Hashem Elokechem Emet, right? And what's the next word? Emet, V'yatziv V'nachon. In the Arvit, we say, Hashem Elokechem Emet, V'emunah. But the time of night is the time of Emunah. And the time of day is Emet V'yatziv, a time of strength. So now we understand, it says, the language of Vayifga B'makom. What kind of prayer is Yaakov praying? Vayifga B'makom, why? Back to the Chumash. Vayalan Shem Kibah HaShemesh. The sun is setting. The sun is not just setting on Yaakov in a physical sense. The sun is setting on Yaakov in a metaphysical sense. Yaakov, where does he find himself? Exactly the way we started in the very beginning. He finds himself in a situation where he's not equipped. He's no Esav. He finds himself alone, penniless, in a time of great doubt, in a time of great fear. And then at that point, it says, Yaakov tikein tefilat arvit. In that situation, in his time of need, then he prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And before he goes to sleep, before he lies down on the rock, that he finds, that's all he could find. He didn't lie down on a bed. He didn't lie down. You know what I'm saying? Like the picture that we have.
He put his head on a rock.
Yeah. Isn't that strange?
Quite.
Yeah. Why? What does that tell you? Where isn't he sleeping? Where should he be sleeping?
On the floor.
Yeah. Even back then, they had places to sleep. Some of the freshmen point out that the people who had money paid for lodging. The people who didn't have money, they slept in the street. And that was, if you slept in the street, you were subjected to the whims and the wills of the people who were surrounding you. And think about this, you know, Yaakov is not, he's not a man of the world. He's not a person who knows how to sort of, like, he's an Isha Halim.
Maybe that's why he put his head on a rock, but he was going to save, use the rock to attack, to defend himself if he needed to. Because otherwise the rock is quite uncomfortable to lie on. Maybe
you put your head on something. What's worse, the rock or the floor?
Sometimes a rock.
I don't know. It's very, very, very interesting.
Why was he alone?
I talked about that. He sent out. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, difficult question. Like, you know, well, I can give you answers, but they probably won't make you happy. Okay? One second, what I want to find. So let's read let's go on a little bit and after he has his tefillah, then he has his dream. Then he has his vision. Okay. So let's read a little bit more. Vayachalom v'hinei sulam mutzav arza v'roshom magia hashamayim masa. He dreamed and he sees his vision. V'hinei malachei Elohim olim yodim bo, and he sees the angels. V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav v'yomar, and God is standing above, standing over this on the top of the ladder, and he says to him, Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha v'Elokei Yitzchak. I am Hashem, the God of your father Avraham and your father Yitzchak. I'm sorry, I'll translate more correctly. The God of your father Abraham and the God of Yitzchak. Ha'aretz asher atah shochev aleha lecha etnena ulezarecha. The land that you are dwelling on, I will give it to you and to your children. V'haya zarecha ka'afar ha'aretz. And your children will be like the dust of the land. Ufaratzta yama v'kedma v'tzafona v'negba. We got a song? Ufaratzta, right? Okay. And you will lifrutz. Spread forth. To the four directions. V'nivruchu b'cha kol mishpachot ha'adama u'v'zarecha. And you will be blessed. Pasuk tetvav.
Everybody will be blessed.
Through you, everyone will be blessed. Right. V'hine anochi imach. And I will be with you. U'shmarticha b'chol asher telech. And I will guard you wherever you go. V'ashivoticha el ha'adama hazot. And I will return you to this land. I will not abandon you until I do that which I promised to you. So I didn't see the Abba Ben Ahl himself, but I'm going to quote from this beautiful sefer, Ma'ayan HaShavua. Okay. What? Tell me, that I was looking in the sefer?
No, that you didn't look it up in the Abba Ben Ahl.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
If I looked at the Abba Ben Ahl itself, we'd still be sitting here discussing the Abba Ben Ahl. The Abba Ben Ahl, if you haven't studied the Abba Ben Ahl, it's really long. Okay, the Abba Ben Ahl, he likes to ask a lot of questions and then give a basic principle and then answer all of his questions. But they say that, like, Abba Ben Ahl is a chas v'shalom, it's true, but the joke is that he made a lot about Bikursim, because Friday night you sit down to the Abba Ben Ahl, you read his 32 questions, and then you fall asleep. So you answer, you have all these questions if you don't have his answer. So I'll quote you as his quoting from the Abba Ben Ahl. He says the following, he's quoting, Amar, Yaakov mefachdo min Esav shiyahergehu. Yaakov is afraid of Esav. He's running away from Esav. Ubioto boreach mipanav ani vadal. And in his flight, impoverished, right, degraded. Yechidi umitnaker. He's alone and he's estranged. Sound familiar? Alone and estranged. Ulai kvar haya mitcharet v'mashisikein atzmo milikichat ha-brachot. So maybe he regretted endangering himself to tell the brachot. He sings to himself, he's lying in the ground. And he sees to himself and he says to himself, why did I do this? When mom said, Yaakov, you got to get the brachot, I should have said, Mom, I'm fine the way I am. Let's leave it the way it is and let things be. And one could well imagine Yaakov having that fear and having that doubt, because here he is. He's paying a heavy price for the, you know what I'm saying? He hasn't seen the brachot. Like he followed the commandment and he did what his mother told him to do, and now look where it got him. On the ground with nothing, running from his, like, in danger. In danger. In a terrible place. He also says, but Umro Shema lo yashar ba'inei Elokim masha asalachi. Maybe God, I didn't do the right thing. V'lachein, he says, Sivev ha-borei yitbarach bi'ato le'oto makam Hara Moria. God led him to Hara Moria. V'shi'alun sham, and God led him to lie down there. V'her'a b'chalomo b'nevuah elokit. And then he showed him in his dream this prophecy, Kiyum brachot asher bracho aviv, the fulfillment of the blessings that his father blessed him. There were three. One, his children. Two, sheratza Elokim et ma'asav, that God did want him to do what he had done. And three, v'hivticho shelo yipached ma'asav. He promised him not to be afraid. Ki hu yatzilu mimenu. Okay? And therefore, God, he promised him three things. He says, one, dveikut b'hashkacha neviyat ha-shefa, that there will be hashkacha for you. God promises that you will be blessed. Two, yirushat ha-aretz, you will inherit the land. And three, ribui zaro, your children will also be blessed. Those are the things that Yitzchak blessed him with. You look back at the brachot, right? God will bless you, and you will be strong. And here, God, you know, Yaakov is saying to himself, like my father gave me all these blessings, and where am I? I'm lying on the ground with nothing in the middle of God only knows where, in danger. I have to say no to that for now.
No, you just answered it.
Oh, my bad. Slicha.
The green is answer.
1, 2, 3.
In the bottom, you pull up.
Yeah, the green is answer. Yeah, but she's not on a cell phone, so she's there.
So red.
It's a rot. So we'll answer later. Okay.
It's confirmation of the bracha
It's confirmation of the fact. I think this confirmation of a few things. And the reason I think this is powerful is because, first of all, the dream comes after, according to Chazal, after the tefillah. We can't minimize the critical importance of tefillah. And I think, as Mina said it, that the kind of tefillah that we have to have is in the time of night, it's Vayifka Bamakom. Yaakov tiken tefillat arvit. There's a very fascinating discussion in the Gemara. Is arvit reshut or chova? And actually, we do arvit. It's become chova. But in the language of the Gemara, arvit is reshut. It's an individual prayer. In fact, there's no tefillah. There's no, you ever notice in arvit, there's no chazarat hashatz. There's no communal prayer. Arvit is an individual prayer. It's a personal prayer. And I think that reflects very much the tefillah of Yaakov. That prayer from tzar, prayer of the night, has to come from a place in the heart. It's a language of pgiya. Number two is, after Yaakov had that tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God came to him and gave him that sense of vision, that sense of tranquility. He shows him the malachei Elokim olim biyodimbo, that there are these angels of God, v'hinei Hashem nitzav alav, and above this stairwell, above this sulam, above this ladder, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing from above. That there is idea of this divine protection. And that the brachot that Yaakov doubts, that he wonders about, really will come true. And the third thing I think that this tells us is that the brachot don't come true right away. That we have to understand that there is a certain sense of process. That doesn't happen just because the brachot are there and we believe in them. It doesn't mean it's going to come immediately in the way that you expect them to come. That there's a sense of ayelech charana, and you're running away from your son, you're running away from your brother, and you're in danger, and you have this sense of fear, and you have this sense of uncertainty. And that doesn't negate for a moment the absolute certainty that the nevuah will come true in the end. And there's no guarantees. There's no promises that it'll be the way you want it to be. Of course, you should ask for the moon. Right? But nonetheless, there's a time where you're lying on the ground in the middle of the night, and you have that sense of fear. And you have to have that sense of emet v'emunah. And I think that that's why the prayer of Yaakov is so particularly powerful. That Hara Moriah, in a sense, if you ask for it, can come to you. And now maybe if you're Yaakov Avinu. But it requires the pigia, that sense of approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think that, I'll speak for myself. It's definitely missing. You mentioned it yesterday, Rina. Like when you said it to me, like, you know, we focus so much in the news on the technical, on the physical, on the things that we can relate to tangibly, i.e. sirens and mamadim and Iron Dome. You know, we love to talk about the Iron Dome because it's really cool, you know. But sometimes that comes and it takes the place of a sense of need and appreciation for the pgiya, the tefillah, and the power that the tefillah has. So you mentioned yesterday, we were talking, so you said you felt the need to have the kids dive in with, you know, whether it was a good experience or not a good experience. Sounds like it wasn't such a good experience. But I think that we fall prey to that sometimes.
The intentions were good.
We fall prey to that danger sometime. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that in Chutz La'aretz, I think when you feel more helpless, we have more of a sense of a need to pray.
That's all they have.
Right. And here, no, we got this and we got that and the soldiers and da-da-da-da-da-da. Good. Terrific. I'm totally agreeing with you. I'm totally agreeing with you. I'm encouraging that sense of the Iron Dome is wonderful and terrific and great, but we cannot for a moment allow that to negate what you're talking about, the sense of that it's hand in hand. That it has to come with our sense of faith and a sense of devotion to Hashem, and our sense of understanding that sometimes kibah Hashemish ba'yivgah b'makom, we have to approach God and not think. And that's the danger of the ma'arechet. The greater the ma'arechet is, the more, like we always struggle with this, the more insurance you have, the less you need God, because then insurance will take care of it. The more that tzava is there, then you know what I'm saying? So and it's not necessarily it's not enough. It's obviously not enough.
Dancing and singing, and I don't remember the song. No, that's the old one. There's a new one, like that's from this current war. And you see non-religious and religious soldiers, and they're dying, and Hashem's going to carry them through,
right?
Giving them strength. And to me, that was like one of the most powerful images I've seen.
Right. Right, I totally agree. So I have this another book called the Yalkut Lekachtov, which is much more Musari, much more yeshivish, but that's where we're going this time. So I'm going to quote to you. He says, the Midrash says the following. Okay, it says the famous Tehillim, Shir Malot Esa Einai El Harim Me'ayin Yabo Ezri, Ezri Me'im Hashem Aseh Shamayim Va'aretz. Right, Shir Malot, right? A call up to Hashem. Me'ayin Yavo Ezri, and he answers right away, Ezri Ma'im Hashem Oseh Shamayim Va'aretz. So it's very interesting. So the Beit HaLevi says, he says, what is Ezri? Me'ayin Yavo Ezri, why was Yaakov going to Haran? He's going to Haran, ostensibly, to find a wife. So what's Ezri? Ezer Kenegdo. So Shira Malo Tesai, now you learn Me'ayin Yavo Ezri, where am I going to get a wife from? Right? So he says, Ezri Me'im Hashem Oseh Shamayim Va'aretz.
But the Midrash says that he said that parak of Tehillim.
He said that.
It's interesting because that parak of Tehillim, according to most parshanim, is a tefillah for the traveler.
For the traveler.
Yeah.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Al yanim shemecha inei lo yanu velo yishan shemei Yisrael. Very beautiful. Very beautiful. Okay. So it makes sense that Yaakov would say this. So he quotes the idea of like that Yaakov Avinu. He said, "What am I saying? Me'ayin yavo Ezri? How can I even say that? Is me'im Hashem oseh shamayim va'aretz?" So in this book, he says that there's a very famous argument, a very famous ideological argument between the school of what we call the Chovot HaLevavot and the Ramban. So the Chovot HaLevavot says the following. He says that, what's the idea of a bitachon? The Chovot says, al ha'adam nishtadel v'alo lismoch al hanes. You don't rely on miracles. You have to do your hishtadlut. And the Ramban says that a person should, you know, put himself in Hashem. So he says, how do you decide which is the best way to go? Do you just say, God, I mean, it's up to you and I do what I want? Or do I follow Chovot HaLevavot? So he says, well, it depends who you are. If you're like regular, if you're a normal person, he says, the Rabbi Yisrael Salant said the following. If a regular person, is a Chamon Am, is a Chovot HaLevavot. You have to make your Hishtadlut. You have to do what's appropriate. But Tamidei Chachamim have to follow the Ramban. Okay, so I'm confident in saying that I can follow the idea of Mechovot HaLevavot. Right? But we have to do our Hishtadlut. You have to take precautions. You have to do what's appropriate. But you can't negate the other side, and that there is a sense of saying that no matter what you do, you're still in the Yad Hashem. You know what I'm saying? Someone's guiding those Iron Dome rockets. Someone's making them work. You know, the science is good. It's not that good. I'm not going to say impossible. There's a guidance. We believe that there's a guidance. We believe that there's a Yad Hashem. I would even say, I don't even have to say that. There's a Yad Hashem in giving people the inspiration to develop this thing. That's like crazy science. It's crazy technology. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, right. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? It's not so simple. It's not so simple. But this idea of bitachon, that Yaakov had that sense of, well, we should say that, that me'ayin comes from the sense of that we should see that our ezer comes from Hashem. And I think that gives a sense of solace, a sense of comfort. And then Yaakov woke up and he felt better. Right? That he davened to Hashem, and Hashem gave him the vision. I don't know about you, but not all of us are zochet to have the vision of the sulam and the Rosh Hashanah Shemaima. But nonetheless, we believe that it's there. And we feel confident that it's there. And that the brachot that Yaakov gave are exactly the brachot that we want. We want the brachot of lezaracha etnena. We believe that this is our land. And we believe that Hashem will give us the land, that we are the children of Yaakov and it belongs to us. And we don't deny that. We also believe lezaracha ka'afar ha'aretz. That we're not here just for ourselves. We are here to bring bracha to the rest of the world. And finally, we believe, Ushmarticha b'chol asher telech. And Hashem will guide us wherever we go. And it might not be the way we want. And Yaakov is in for a lot of trials and tribulations with a lying, cheating, stealing father-in-law. You can't trust a word that he says. Sound familiar? Okay? You can't believe a word that he says. Nothing he says is true. And he suffers a great deal for it. But nonetheless, Ushmarticha b'chol asher telech. Hashem is still with him. Finish off on a good note. Perek Chavtet. Skip to Perek Chavtet. Very beginning of chapter 29. Vayisa Yaakov raglav vayelech harana. Very strange. Yaakov lifted up his feet. He went to Haran. Wait, he lifted up his feet? Vayelech Yaakov harana. Right, he went back. He went to Haran. But Vayisa raglav, Rashi, beautiful Rashi. Mishinit baser b'sorat tova. When he got this good news, the huftach b'shmirah, that he was guided, he was given this promise of shmirah. Aman Rashi on Aleph. Nasa libo raglav v'nasa kal lechet. His heart picked up his feet and he was able to walk. What a beautiful idea. When you have a sense of bitachon, when you have the sense that Hashem is with you, your feet pick themselves up. And I think that that's the sense that we have to have. We have to have the tefillah of Arvit. We have to be pogea. We have to entreat God. We have to have the sense of Ushmarticha b'chol asher telech, that God will guide us, and He will guide our soldiers, and He will guide our children, and He will keep us and them safe to the greatest degree possible. But once that's there, we can't walk around with a sense of depression all the time. We can't. You have to have a sense of Simcha v'chayim. You have to have Vayisa Yaakov raglav. When we have that Besarah Tova, when we have the promise of Shmirah, pick up your feet, nasali bo, right? Pick up your feet and let your and walk a little lighter. And you dropped off your children in school. You dropped off your children in school. Sense of joy, sense of excitement, sense of zchut, right? You got the smiley face. Sense of zchut. Now we have the zchut to be where we are. We have the zchut to raise our children. Even with all the trial and tribulation, with an understanding and appreciation for Am Yisrael, a zchut to be living in Eretz Yisrael, and the zchut that Be'ezrat Hashem, the night will end, and pretty soon the sun will rise once again. stop here.